T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
58 Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Thursday night, a Phillies off night. We'll get to some Philly stuff as we go throughout the show, including a pretty wild stat about Rhys Hoskins, which I was surprised at. As someone who has been, I think, fair to Rhys over the years, I think he's a good offensive player, not great. His high highs are incredible. His low lows are frustrating. He's a bad defensive player, but he's a good offensive player. But I saw something today on his, you know, his career, like since he's come up, where he ranks in a couple of key categories. It is pretty remarkable, the numbers he's put up in a couple areas. We'll get to that. We'll talk to Jack later on. Jack Fritz on the Phillies coming up at 9. And right now we're going to bring on Elliot. And going back to all the phone lines on Howie and his offseason so far. I think it's been a good offseason for the Eagles. For as much doom and gloom as there's been, like when I look at every individual thing they've done and I add them together, I say this has been a good offseason. Let's see what Elliot Shore Parks thinks. He's with us right now. Usually on Wednesdays, we had Philly stuff last night, so he's with us tonight on Thursday talking some Eagles. Elliot, how are we doing tonight?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, we're 3 weeks from the draft, so we're kind of taking stock of the offseason to date. And Elliot, here's my take. Howie Roseman's had a good offseason. You know, if you had told me 3 months ago they would get a first and a third, or, you know, what could be a first and a third for Wentz, they would be able to move from 6 to 12 and get another first-round pick. They would, you know, basically get under the cap without losing any player that you think is still any good and they'd want to keep. And they'd sign two starters in free agency on one-year deals on the defensive side. I would say that's better than I thought they would do this offseason. I think he's had a good offseason, Howie Roseman.
Yeah, I think what you just described is actually a great offseason. I think it's better than good. And I understand that, look, prior to the end of last season, right, from the day the season ended, prior to that, he made a lot of mistakes to put the team in this situation. He holds a lot of responsibility for where the team is currently at. But when you look at just each individual move he's made since the season ended, they've all been really good. As you mentioned, they got a first-round pick back, a third-round pick back, and they upgraded a quarterback, right? So I think that's a pretty good move. They moved back from 6 to 12, and we'll see. I think with a lot of draft moves, as always, you have to wait to find out and see how it goes. That being said, we can only grade the trade right now, and he got great value. The Dolphins overpaid to move back from 12 to 6, so he got good value there. And look, I think Eric Wilson and Anthony Harris are two of the best free agency signings of the offseason when you take into account the money they paid. Both of them, last season, Wilson was an impact starter for the Vikings, one of the best linebackers in the NFL. And two seasons ago, Harris was so good, they had to franchise tag him to keep him. So, you know, we'll see how they play for the Eagles. His track record of recent free agency signings has not been great, especially a linebacker, but I really like those two moves.
Elliot, earlier when Howard was on, we were talking about Zach Ertz, who's still here. Obviously, you know, the Eagles have not gotten anything they like for him. And with the move down from 6 to 12, it pretty much takes them out of the odds to get or the chances to get Kyle Pitts. So here's my perspective. If they're not getting anything good for Zach Ertz, and I don't think they are because otherwise they probably would have traded him already, why not just keep him? If Kyle Pitts isn't being drafted and you're not getting anything good for him, what do you think about the idea of holding on to Zach Ertz for another year? He is under contract for one more season.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, not just for the Eagles, but I think it makes sense for Zach at this point. You know, look, last season when he wanted out or he wanted a new deal, he still had a lot of value, both in the league and, you know, financially, and then also to the team, right? I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think the fact that they haven't been able to move him speaks to the fact that not only is the team not going to give him a new deal, they're not going to pay him what he's currently being paid, and they're not going to trade anything of value. So, you know, if you're going to get a six-round pick for Zach Ertz, he's way more valuable on the team than he is as a six-round pick. And, you know, this offseason there's been a lot of debate about, you know, do they tank? Do they try to win? Do they go with the youth movement? Do they not? And that's an interesting debate, but there's no debate that Zach Ertz helps Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni next season. He makes them a better offense. He's a great security blanket for Jalen Hurts. And as Nick Sirianni tries to kind of build his culture, if you can get Zach Ertz in, fully in, like, you know, very happy to be here, then I think he's a valuable part of the team, and I would definitely keep him.
Elliot, you mentioned there Nick Sirianni. So the Eagles put out a video the other day. It was Fran Duffy, who does the X's and O's and the kind of the tape breakdowns, and he does a podcast about that kind of stuff. He sat down with Nick Sirianni, and they kind of just broke down film for about 25 minutes or so, you know, kind of old Colts film and concepts that we might see with the Eagles on offense. What did you make of that? Because I watched it, and I took away that this guy, I mean, he's obviously very enthusiastic, and he's got a lot of energy, and it just feels like he loves talking about football. Like, I could see if people get him, or, you know, media people get him and sit him down and talk football with him, he's going to come off as, man, he loves to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, and they're certainly happy to tell you that, right? I mean, the thing that Sirianni has really been promoted at as this entire offseason has been enthusiastic, you know, excited, that type of stuff. And that's good. I mean, there were parts of that clip you talked about where he's talking about how excited he is to see the backup tight ends on the sideline cheer for the tight end on the field to catch a pass. He's excited that the practice squad players in a box off the side of the field are excited that the Colts just scored. So it's very clear from watching that he is going to try to build an atmosphere where, like, everybody loves each other. He said that it was exciting to watch T.Y. Hilton score for Jack Doyle because Jack Doyle is one of T.Y. Hilton's best friends, right? I mean, it sounded a little high school-y, right? But that stuff can work sometimes, right? I think that if you can get the players to really buy in and to, you know, really play for each other, that'll be a good thing. But what it's really going to come down to for me with Nick Sirianni is, can he do the other parts of being a head coach? Can he, you know, get on players when they need to, when they're not having a good game? Can he hold the meeting, you know, if the team's 0-3, inspire them? Those are going to be the tough things for him. I have no doubt he's enthusiastic. I think that Frank Reich saying he's a good coach justifies to me that he's a good football mind. I just need to see him not be so Mr. Enthusiastic, Mr. Excited, and be a head coach. And when he has to do that role, it'll be interesting to see how he does.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us here talking Eagles as we are 3 weeks away from the first round of the NFL draft. All right, Elliot, we're counting down the days now. We're less than, you know, it's 3 weeks, right? So 21 days away from the Eagles making their first round pick at number 12. What's your feeling right now? I know you were debating the other day with Ike on one of our video series on WIP, offense, defense. What do you, like, right now, if the draft was tomorrow, what's your gut on this? Is it offense? Is it defense? What are you thinking at number 12?
It's just so hard to get a read on it. Maybe that's a good thing for the Eagles, right? I don't think any team around the league has a great read on what the Eagles are going to do. I think that there's a chance that the best player on the board is going to be a receiver, whether it's Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith. I think those will be the best players on the board. The question is, did Howie move down thinking he was going to get a position he values more at that spot? Gregory Rousseau, the defensive end out of Miami. There's a defensive end out of Michigan that could go there. Potentially you could see one of the tackles slide down there. Like, those are positions that Howie values. I think he values cornerback as well, more than wide receiver. So while I think the best player on the board is going to be a receiver, I ultimately think you'll see Howie stick to what he believes in and go with someone along the line or maybe a cornerback.
So in the last 30 years, Elliot, if you go back at Eagles drafts, when they have a top half of the first round pick, so, you know, top 15 back in the day, top 16 since they expanded the league,
right,
but top half of the first round, which obviously 12 is within that parameter, they've only taken three kinds of players: offensive line, defensive line, or quarterback. And we can now take quarterback out of the mix because they traded back. That leaves offensive, defensive line. How much press should we take into precedent here? Like, this is what the Eagles do versus, okay, the board might be different, the league might be different, their needs might be different. How much do you put into that?
I think you put a lot into it. And look, you're going back, you know, to when Howie was like 15 years old, right? So part of that is not Howie. But if you look at just since Howie has been the GM, right, when he picked number 2 overall, he took a quarterback in Carson Wentz. When he picked number 4, he took Lane Johnson. When he picked number 14, he took Derek Barnett. So whenever he's had an opportunity to make these picks, that's what he's done with it. I actually think that's why they moved back from 6 to 12, not just to get the asset because it was a great return, but I don't think at number 6 he felt there was going to be a player that he valued there, right? Like, yeah, they could have gotten Jamar Chase. They probably maybe could have gotten Kyle Pitts, but he does not believe those positions are worth the value of a first-round pick, you know, at number 6 overall. So I think by moving back, he collects that asset, and then he would like to go with the position he values. But at least then at number 12, he does take a receiver. He feels like he's turned that 6th pick into an additional asset plus that player.
Elliot, you wrote earlier today about a quarterback or quarterbacks Eagles could select. And it's interesting because I think anytime people see that, they're like, oh, no, here we go again. But let's be real. They don't have much at the quarterback position beyond Jalen Hurts. I mean, Joe Flacco's here for a one-year deal. And, I mean, they said it last year. They want to be a quarterback factory. That's not going to change. I don't imagine they would take one in the first or, you know, with their second-round pick. But who did you write about and who kind of stands out to you as a quarterback they could take somewhere in the mid-rounds this year?
You know, it's funny. When I was writing the story, I went back and I looked at the guys that I had last year on the list, and the number one player
Jalen Hurts.
I had
was Jalen Hurts.
Was Jalen Hurts. Yeah. And a lot of people tweeted me back saying, "Oh, they're not going to take Jalen Hurts, right?" And I mostly agreed. Like, I didn't think there was a great chance they were going to take him. So, to your point, I think they could do anything. Like, if Justin Fields falls to 12, do I think they could take him? I wouldn't rule it out, but you know, he's probably not going to be there. So, if you look at the guys that they could take. At number 37, there's probably not a natural fit. I don't think they would take somebody there. But when you look at the third and fourth round, there are some intriguing options. Kyle Trask out of Florida obviously has a connection to the current quarterback coach, Brian Johnson, who got a career year out of him last year. I think he had like 43 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So, you know, that's a possibility. And the other one, he might not fall to the fourth anymore. He might be more of a second or third round pick. It depends, you know, as the draft gets closer. That's what people are saying. But Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M, I believe off the top of my head, off of Texas A&M. He's had a great college career. I think he has almost 10,000 passing yards, 22 rushing touchdowns. You know, he does not turn the ball over a ton, and he's a great athlete. So these are two guys that I think you could draft in the middle round and have it be a little bit like Kirk Cousins when Washington drafted RG3. Somebody who can come in, he's not going to be given the job because of where he's drafted, but it's enough of an asset that he could potentially win the job and maybe challenge Jalen Hurts a little bit. So I do think in the fourth, third round, you could see them take a quarterback.
All right, Elliot, last one, and this is a non-Eagles question, and I got to see if Tucker is tricking me again with what's on the board here in front of me. So tonight we're talking to the audience. I'm asking them for beer recommendations. I need to try some new beer because my fridge in the basement is now empty with all the winter beers that has gone. So I was going to ask everyone, and Tucker wrote on the board here next to your name, wine coolers greater than beer. Is that accurate, or is he goofing around again?
I don't know where Tucker is getting this information.
I don't know
about me. Like, is there another Twitter account that he thinks is me? A wine cooler is better than beer. I don't know if I would call that. I mean, look, I would say maybe, you know, a seltzer, a nice glass of wine, something. I enjoy a beer for sure. Like, I'll do a nice IPA, but I feel like, and I don't know if you feel this, Joe. I know Tucker is like 12 years old, so he doesn't. But you know, I feel like now the older I get, if I drink 2 or 3 IPAs, I really feel it more the next day. So I have not been as into it recently.
Oh, well, there's no question about that. In 2 or 3, I feel it a lot the next day. So, yes. And so are you a red wine guy or a white wine guy? Because I like red wine.
I would probably go white wine, to be honest. I enjoy them both, but I feel like white wine doesn't feel as heavy. I think, like, if I'm out at a restaurant and I'm feeling nice, I'm getting a nice meal, I might go red wine there. But if I'm just at home watching a nice reality show, you know, maybe The Bachelor's on, something like that, I'll just pour a nice glass of white to, you know, set the mood.
Yeah, I think white wine and The Bachelor work well together. Elliot, always appreciate you hopping on, and we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks, not a wine cooler guy, but a white wine and The Bachelor guy. That feels like it. I mean, I think I could have guessed that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising at all.
Yeah, I don't really like white wine too much. I like red wine. You a wine guy?
It's okay. I wouldn't seek it out.
I seek out wine. I mean, not like I seek out beer. I feel like our audience is probably going to be better on the beer recommendations than the wine. That's just my guess.
I buy wine based on how funny the bottle is.
Yeah, I do the same thing with beer, actually. I mean, the can and the bottle itself, it's a big deal. Imagine if teams did that in a draft. Look at a player, just the eye test. Not even the film. Just look at the person. That's my guy. Look at him right there. That's the guy. Actually, maybe that's how the Eagles have gotten to where they are. 215-592-9494. All right, that's a hop in here. We'll get to some Philly stuff coming up. I need your beer recommendations as I'm all out. IPAs are my favorite kind of beer, but I will try anything. Local beers, I want to try as many as I can. And with the Eagles, as we just discussed with Elliot there, the way I view it is this. Since the offseason began to now, the Eagles have done a good job, and we could call it the Eagles, I say Howie Roseman, whatever. Like, you know, we're all speaking the same language here. I think they've done a good job in the moves they've made since the season ended. To trade Carson Wentz, considering how bad he was last year, for what they got for him, that was a good trade. To move down from 6 to 12, and we'll see how it all plays out, who goes at 6, who they could have had, how the draft plays out, what they get at 12, but just the trade itself was good value. To get a first-round pick for you know, I mean, to get another first round pick to move down from 6 to 12, that's a good move. And I look at the two starters they signed, Anthony Harris, free agent safety, Eric Wilson, free agent linebacker, both good players on 1-year deals. And they didn't cut one player, not one player that we wanted to keep around. There's not one good player you're like, man, they had to get rid of because of money. They couldn't restructure contracts. They're all still here. So I say in totality, the Eagles have had a good offseason. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. And we'll throw into Philly's talk as well. Let's go to Brian in Westchester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Joe. It's been a great offseason, and no one can really argue against it. The Miami trade by itself makes it a great offseason. They convinced Miami, pick whoever name you want in the sixth spot, that player is worth two first-round picks and moving down from the fourth to the fifth, which is about, I don't know, 15, 18 players more available for the Eagles. So, of course, it's been a good offseason.
You know what's amazing, Brian? It feels like people are just so upset at the past and what has happened here and so upset at Howie that, like, everyone just has, like, blinders on and can't acknowledge, like, some of these moves the last 2 months have been good.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues is Howie Roseman. You can make an argument that Howie Roseman doesn't have enough power in that organization. 18 and 19 were basically him doing his marching orders from Jeffrey Lurie to keep the gang together, and did what he had to do in terms of those contracts. That's not him. That's Lurie dictating where he wants the franchise to go. And when it comes to the draft, everyone they bring in, you can see their influence. Joe Douglas, the Derek Barnett draft. I mean, that's not like Howie's fingerprints are not on these drafts. John Dorsey comes in, and you're getting these athletic freaks. And so he's been in this job long enough. He has enough resources. He should be able to do this job without someone holding his hand or the owner dictating to him or the coaching staff what he should do.
Yeah, well, that becomes a problem because there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and we've seen that over the years. Brian, I always appreciate the phone call. Look, I don't know about more power, but I do want less from Jeff Lurie, right? And that's for sure. I want less influence in terms of draft picks from Jeffrey Lurie. As much as I don't trust Howie in the draft, I trust Jeff Lurie less in the draft because he's an owner and not even close to an executive. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in here on this Thursday night, a Phillies off night. Looks like a Phillies call here. Chris in Phoenixville wants to talk Phillies. I think it's a trade idea. I love trade ideas. What's up, Chris?
Oh, my God. I was out of breath. I just stopped by a baseball academy in Royersford. But talking about, we'll get the beer out of the way. We have to support locals, so I have to support Dr. G and the Giannopoulos family at Sly Fox. And they kind of pulled back an old school where they bought the recipe from Redding Brewing. So they actually sell Redding beer, which is an old beer if you ever went west to Berks County. Well, they sell it now at all the Sly Fox locations. And then they have, I'm not really a microbrew person, but they are one of the more established plants that distributes, and they're local in Phoenixville. And then if you're looking at Conchi Brew, they also have a location in Phoenixville. So right in Tucker's backyard, if you guys want to have a party right there in Phoenixville, they have another location. That's Conchi Brew.
Yeah, I'm in on the party in Phoenix. Well, I didn't realize that. I mean, I know of Sly Fox, but I didn't know that they got the Redding beer. That's awesome. That's an old school way of kind of
real recent. Now let's talk baseball. Reese Hoskins. This is the opportunity to get him while he's hot. The Phillies historically buy high and sell low, so they sign guys that shouldn't be signed at the premium prices, aka contract that they did with Lieberthal, I think, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going way back.
Well, even Jake Arrieta, Chris. I mean, he was on the downcline.
Ryan Howard.
Yeah.
So, like, even the Cardinals are smart. If you look at organizations that run efficiently, you look at the Braves, you look at the Cardinals, that have a combination of stats with common sense. I can tell with voice biometrics whether the leader of an organization or a person that has the title as GM or player. I could tell by voice biometrics more times than not, unless it's like Mike Tyson, whether a person played at a high level in a sport in general, Mike Tyson being the outlier. Hi, guys. That would be the only thing. But when we're looking at trading, we need to trade Reese Hoskins. He's got the longest, loopiest swing in baseball. He's hot now, like Dominic Brown was for 3 weeks before he got into a perpetual slump, and we need to trade him to the Reds for a closer. I want Garrett, the closer. I'll take Votto, or I'll take is Moustakas with them?
Moustakas is with the Reds, yes.
They should have got him 3 years ago before they got Harper. He would have been the perfect fit because they could have put him at third base, and then they could have sat Reese and put him at first as a left-handed hitter instead of putting him out in left field, who we had borderline Pat Burrell range and Pete Incaviglia range. The Phillies need to figure out – they're doing better. I like Dombrowski. The other guy that was a left-handed shortstop at Dartmouth shouldn't even be anywhere near a spreadsheet – I mean, a field, let alone a spreadsheet. I look at Billy Beane. He hasn't won a world title, but he gets all this credit for Moneyball. There has to be a fine line between knowing statistics, sabermetrics. I did that course. I'm a financial advisor, so I can figure out your ERA. I can figure out my ERA.
Well, Billy Beane did play the game. He was an ex-player.
Yeah, but he was a first-round pick, and he's the perfect example of you don't pick Adonis because Adonis doesn't necessarily.
Oh, I agree. I mean, he said that, you know, and Chris, listen, I always appreciate the phone call and I appreciate the recommendation on the beer. I mean, if you ever watch or read Moneyball, Billy Beane basically said, I'm trying to pick the opposite of me. I always push back on the anti-Billy Beane stuff. I mean, the A's have the least resources in baseball. Like, have they won a World Series? No, but they win 90 games often with, I mean, at times they've had sewage in the clubhouse. I mean, that place is a dump. Anyway, forget Billy Beane for a second. As far as trading Rhys Hoskins, I know this came up last night. I am always, always up for trading basically any player if it makes the team better. Like, I'm not married to any player. I mean, there's a few that, you know, are awesome players that are young, you want to keep around. But yeah, I mean, sure, I trade Rhys Hoskins for the right deal. I'm not trading it for a closer from the Reds, though. Like, that's not what I want to get from him. As far as Rhys Hoskins, and I will be critical of Rhys. I think he's a butcher defensively. I think he's a designated hitter. I mean, he's just been bad everywhere he's been in the field. I think we have to not compare him to Dominic Brown. Okay, let me throw this stat at you. I saw this one today. I think Todd Zielecki had this. Since Rhys Hoskins debuted in the major leagues, let's see if Tucker guesses this, all right? Since Rhys Hoskins debuted in the major leagues, Tucker, in 2017, right? August 10, 2017. Tell me where you think he ranks in among all major league hitters in home runs. Like, not how many he has, but like where he ranks.
12th?
Ninth. 92 home runs. That ranks ninth in all of baseball, okay? And then there have been 384 players that qualify for the OPS leaderboard since then, right? So about 400 players or so since 2017 qualify, have had enough at-bats to be in the, you know, you look at their OPSs. Where do you think he ranks on that list of 384 qualified players since the day he debuted?
I mean, he led the league in walks 2 years ago, right? So
that helps.
I'd say probably top 30.
34th. Okay, so he's ninth in home runs, 34th in OPS. I'm not trying to pretend he's a great, great player. He's not. But like just trading him away now because he's on a hot streak, like he's had other hot streaks. The problem is he also has cold streaks. Would I trade him to get better if I get something I really, really like for him? Yes, I would. And I'd move Bohm to first base and have a different way we build the team moving forward. But I'm also not just trading him to the Reds for Amir Garrett, who's their closer right now, just for the hell of it. This isn't Dominic Brown. I mean, it's 3.5 years or 3+ years where he's ninth in home runs at 34th among 384 qualified players in OPS. There's something there. 215-592-9494. Come back, your phone calls. Mock draft mania as well. Probably my favorite mock draft we've stumbled upon. And in terms of Howie Roseman, the offseason so far, from the end of the season and now, I say Howie Roseman and the Eagles have had a good offseason. Agree, disagree. We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!